It's Thursday, April 17th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 942, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 32% off at GoDaddy or pick up a domain name for $2.95. All of my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show for you. Glad I'm here. We almost had a complete catastrophe today. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Strap in, though, because you know what comes next.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to the show. If you're brand new to Geek News Central, thanks for checking us out for the very first time, and got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of tech to talk about, amongst other things, and you know, being part of the Ohana here in Hawaii, being part of the Ohana means you're part of the family. And of course, Easter is upon us this coming weekend, so a lot of people are going to be doing things with family and celebrating. So you know, enjoy the weekend for what it is, and I know many of you will be going to special services and so forth, but is, you know, some of our extended family here in Hawaii are going to be doing some things on Sunday. We're going to go join them, some activity for the kids, and the family are just going to kind of do a little potluck together. It'll be real nice. But you guys are here to just get a little geeky here before the weekend, and I want to thank you for tuning in and being part of the Ohana, and all of you, the longtime listeners and viewers. And thanks for being here as well. Okay, well, the main thing is you can reach out to me on the show real easily at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. That's the best way to reach out to me on the show. Either of those ways work real good. Of course, you can reach out to me on Google+ or on Facebook. Either one of those is fine as well. Of course, how you're going to get subscribed to our Google+ page and also our Facebook page, or basically follow the Facebook page, is to really get subscribed to our newsletter. And you can do that over on the website at geeknewscentral.com. There's a link for the newsletter on the top right-hand column of the website. And then, of course, in the second column of the website, there's information on how to subscribe to all the shows, whether it be Geek News Central, the New Media Show, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, and so forth. Gadget Professor put out a new show tonight talking specifically about a new power bank, car jump start mobile phone, laptop recharger, battery charger, all kinds of stuff on batteries. So you'll definitely want to check out Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. His show, Langley, had his show up earlier in the week. So you want to check out Robot Underpants as well. Get subscribed to everything at Geek News Central. Stay abreast of really what's happening. So let me just look at my little stack here as I get ready to get into the meat of what happened today, and really what had me stressing for about 2 hours. This morning came into the studio, checked email, got the basically inbox emptied, checked on the website, just in my normal routine. Loaded the kids up to go to school, and about 5 minutes from being from the school, my monitoring service texts me, says, "Hey, Geek News Central is not reachable," and I'm like, that's interesting. So I immediately called Angelo, and I said, "Angelo, can you see the website? Is it up?" And he says, "No, your website's down." I said, "Well, go ahead and try to SSH into it." And he's got access to the server, and he tried SSH in. He says, "No, it's not coming up." And we did it because we've made some DNS changes recently. I said, "Man, did I screw something up on DNS and it just show up?" And he says, no, DNS looks good. And so that kind of like, okay, not DNS. can't SSH into the box. So let's go ahead and request a recycle from GoDaddy. And so basically sitting in my kid's school parking lot, I logged on to my GoDaddy account with the iPad and basically issued the power command. Now, I know this can take a little bit to get sometimes 20 to 30 minutes for them to be able to cycle it. But within about 10 minutes, the email came back and said, hey, we've recycled it. And I was on the way back to the studio here, and I sent basically dialed Angelo. Of course, I got hands-free in the car, and dialed Angelo and said, okay, is it back up? And he says, no, it's not up. And I'm like, oh, crap. So immediately then, what I did today, haven't used this before. They've got this live chat session. So I was just about home. Got back into the studio, logged up into the account. So I know there's something more serious going on. And I got into basically loaded the chat app on GoDaddy's right on their interface. And it said I was 8th in the queue. So I sat about maybe 15 minutes waiting to get into the queue. And finally the tech rep came on. I said, hey, this is, here's my name. Here's the server. It's unreachable. And he did a test. Yep. And he says something's not right. Let me go ahead and send it over to the tech. Let me create the ticket for you. And he says, we'll call you when we figured out what's going on. I said, just as long as it comes up, send me an email. You don't have to call me if you get it fixed. Just email blast me. He said, okay. And I said, if you're going to have to reprovision a hard drive or something, let me know. And I'm kind of in the back of my head, I'm stressing because I'm thinking to myself, my God, are my backups up to date? And, they were. But, you have an automated process. This server's been banging away since 2011, this specific server. And really, I reboot it maybe once every 6 months. It just, sits there and does its deal. And, your doubts run through your mind. I have two or three different strategies that I use, one to a private FTP, one to S3 for backup, a variety of different things. And so, back of my head, I'm like, did we miss anything? And so while I'm waiting for the GoDaddy rep to get to the machine, I, log into S3, I check that, those look good, logged into a couple of other different places, and all right, I look like I'm fine, looks everything's backing up the way it's supposed to be. And so it was about an hour, so we're close, it was, by the time I got back here, got in the queue, probably about an hour had elapsed, and probably about another hour, Angela pinged me on Texas, hey, your site's back up. And so I immediately loaded the page and said, oh yeah, everything's looking good. And we, logged into it, did some sniffing around, everything looked like it was kind of, decently running, and there was no issues. So, immediately, it wasn't a hard drive, because, whenever a hard drive goes, you got to pull from backup, and there's a lot of work. And, a lot of work. It'd been all day. So, within about 30 minutes, they sent me an email, and basically, the land card had basically broke on it. So, the box was good. They just needed to replace the land card. But all told, about 2 hours, and we were back online. And I'm going to tell you, for the scheme of things, when you're running a dedicated box, and of course, Geek News Central doesn't have any redundancy or anything like that going on. You can't afford to. When Geek News Central goes down, it's like, okay, is it going to be a short outage or long? And this is just what happens when you have, basically your own dedicated server. This is the risk you take. There's risk and rewards. Rewards, I do anything I want with a box. The risk is if I screw it up, it goes down, I have to rebuild it. That's a pain. But long story short, we came up, we're good. Knock on wood, double checked all the, the backup schemes, everything's fine. But 2 hours on a dedicated box, making sure we're up and running. Some people say, oh, that was a long time. Believe me, it wasn't a long time. And I'm really pleased. And I didn't use any special favors. I didn't call my man at GoDaddy and say, hey, can you rush my ticket? I let it go through the normal process, just a standard customer service process over there. And it was ran smooth as silk, and I'm very, very pleased with that result. That being said, you guys know GoDaddy's a sponsor here, and it's just another testament to why I continue to love to do business with these folks. And really, I've had nothing but, in the past number of years, I've had nothing but real professional folks on tech support, on any type of an issue. Even their sales team is great. So I want you to think about that when you're getting ready to pick up a product or service, especially a hosting product or service. I want you to pick up some products over at GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Use my 50% off code for website builder or the variety of products that are there for hosting. 32% off you can save on like a new server, new dedicated server, or virtual server. So all those codes are, again, at geeknewscentral.com / GoDaddy. And really, there's one there for everyone. Lots of codes. Go 3-2 off 1, 32% off. Go 25 off 5, 25% off your new order, 50% off new hosting plans, 50% off 12-month website builder. And I do have to remind everyone, I know Near had tried to use the 32% off code on a renewal. The 32% off code and the 25% code will not work on renewals, but the 20% code will, the Go 20 off 2. That code will work on renewals. It's the only code currently that will work on renewals. So just, as Near, if you try to renew another product, that's the code currently that I have that is for renewals, and it's right on the website. It says on renewals. You'll see there's I've got it bolded there. So Go 20 off 2 on renewals. I'm glad that GoDaddy was able to save you a lot of money over the phone. I do appreciate the extent you went to try to get me, make sure you have credit for that and so forth. But that's where you get the percentage off. And some other stuff there, too, for you to check out on deals. So great experience with the, it's scary because it could have been otherwise. They could have said, hey, the hard drive is done. you need to restore. And, it's just not like turning the machine on and uploading a bunch of files. You got to reset up Apache. You have to set up, MySQL. You got to get all this stuff up. You got to get the databases imported. You got to get the media. It's just like, it's just like crashing a home computer. Only it's actually a little more complicated from a rebuild standpoint. Actually, that point is it's just all the setup and all the configuration files and everything. It has to go along. So we're knocking on wood. We didn't have a really bad day. All right. So I've chatted enough about that, but I just wanted to share with you. A number of you had emailed me and asked what was going on. Hey, this coming Saturday we have the new media show with Isabella. She's from the UK. She's going to be talking about a podcasting conference that they're trying to get going out there. So if you're from the UK, you'll definitely want to tune in to the new media show at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 Eastern. Also, I want to remind all of you that we are very quickly putting information up on the Podcaster News website. So if you're a podcaster, and I know you guys don't want me to always talk about podcasting, but we've got news that's going on in the podcasting space at podcasternews.com. So definitely check that out. All right. Now, I want to take just a few minutes here and go through some emails that have came in from audience members before we get into the content. I've got these right here stacked, ready to go. Let me hit the right folder. First email was from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, there's a good article on BGR.com talking about an Android phishing app security flaw. And it talks about some concerns that people that are running Android apps should have, specifically with apps and how they're really what they're doing is they're tricking you into clicking on stuff that you shouldn't. So I have that link up in the show notes, but it's a major big one for Android. Lots of security stuff coming out recently. I also got an email from a listener, her name's Sarah, and she has turned me on to an app that's basically under a crowdfunding effort right now. And what they're trying to do is, and this is a an app that will analyze for the consumer their particular situation, tax problem, car accident, etc., And it's going to help folks basically get connected with a lawyer. Now, I don't know if this is going to be an ambulance chaser or, but the app is going to be called Get Lawyer. Now, they've got a huge amount of money to raise, and they haven't raised a lot yet. They've only raised about $670 of a $60,000 goal. But if you'd like an app that you would be able to, at a click of a button, get access to legal help. I know some people are doing this for DUI stuff. They're basically, there's one state that's giving an, well, not one state, but in one state, there's an app that tells you your, you know, the proceedings are going to happen when you get accused of being driving under the influence, what to do and what not to do. It's kind of a step-by-step thing right in the app. Kind of crazy that someone would load an app as they were getting pulled over by the police, but that's what they have. But anyway, this app helps consumers find the best lawyers. Thanks, Sarah, for sending that over. Also got an email from a new company that is, and this came to me as a pitch, and it's by CalSurance Associates, a division of Brown & Brown Program Insurance Services, and it's called Blogger Shield. And Blogger Shield was established basically to provide insurance coverage for bloggers to help protect bloggers from lawsuits related to slander, libel, copyright infringement, privacy violations, and more. And don't have the pricing on this, but it's something that I've been thinking about for a while now, and I may even actually look into. But Blogger Shield is the name of it, and it's by CalSurance Associates. I got to do some more due prudence on this and check out who they're backed by and the fine print and all that stuff, because I don't know how you can be protected by insurance for libel. If you say something libelous and you do it on purpose, I don't see how an insurance company would protect you. It's kind of an interesting deal, so I'm going to have to dig into that a little bit deeper. Got another email from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, sent me a link basically talking about the new Google Camera has an app for Android phone and tablet that will make it easy to take quick photos and videos, and being behind the lens just got more fun with new creative picture modes. It's got you know, a bunch of different changes. So there's some stuff that he sent over on that. So I'll have that link up in the show notes tonight. Got an email here from Barry. He said, Todd, hey, think you may find this story of interest for your show. And it talks about, and this is from the Delhi Daily News, talking how molecules can store solar energy forever. And this is kind of an eye-opener. So science is moving forward pretty quickly when it comes to photovoltaic, and this talks about new materials and so forth being used. Also, the last thing that I had gotten, and this one was also from Jeff. Jeff, thanks for sending the three articles, and he talks about how Fox affiliates have made their feeds available on the Roku, and look for these apps in the channel store. So if you are a fan of WFLD 32 Chicago, WAGA 5 of Atlanta, WNYW5 of New York, and WGBK2 of Detroit. These are all going to be available on the Roku. So interesting that these terrestrial television stations are putting their channels on the Roku app. Now, what they put in there will be the true test. So we'll have to see what's going on. But anyway, everyone, thanks for their emails. And as always, you can send me your comments and about the show or any articles that you think I may need to cover to geeknews@gmail.com. Also, just to let you guys know, I'm on the search for a used, and I may have a line on one. I'm on the search for a used Canon Vixia HFG10. These originally were $1,300 or $1,400, you know, not inexpensive at all, but I want to pick up at least, one more of these, and I'm hoping to find one at a price tag of around $600 used. So if any of you have a G10 laying around that you want to sell for that price range, let me know, but I'm looking to pick up one more of these, and I'm watching Craigslist and eBay and everywhere else that where these are listed. And some stuff on eBay is a little bit higher than I want to spend money on. Maybe it's not been quite long enough for that particular model. But, you know, it's pretty incredible, the stuff that's available now. You know, I was looking at a camera that was $5,000, you know, just maybe 3 or, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, there's these Canon cameras now. They're available for $700. You know, they're pro cameras. And I'm looking at this one. And does this one have an SDI out? I don't know if it did or didn't. I don't think this one does. But just amazing the price on some of these. Now, one thing that you want to do if you're thinking about picking up a camcorder, especially a pro version of a camcorder over the internet, if you're looking to pick up like an XD cam or a Canon, or you know, any of these units that may have been $5,000 or $6,000 before, the key to ask is the time on the camera. How much time has the camera been on? And they all have a meter, and you can actually get and it used to be drum time, how much time was recording on the drums. But because everything's digital now, it's really more about the total hours on the camera. Now, if the camera's been taken care of, kept on a good power supply and not beat up too bad, so far cameras are lasting a long, long, long time. You just have to watch the video quality to make sure the lens hasn't deteriorated or anything like that. But it's amazing the price on a lot of these cameras that used to be $5,000 and $6,000, and sometimes you can actually buy donor cameras that are basically loaners. And it does make me sad because I'm looking here at a camera that I have, and now I don't know if this one is actually if it works or not, but $191 for one of the cameras I've got here in the studio. As a matter of fact, this one right here, and I remember what's crazy is I remember this camera, and if you guys are watching a video, you can see this camera. This camera was 6K, you know, so that just tells you maybe not that one. This is a HDV. This is a HDR. So I might be wrong on that price. That seemed like it was a little bit low. But anyway, lots of cool offerings out there if you're looking for a little bigger lens. And that's one thing you got to remember, too, is the bigger the lens oftentimes is the key for the quality. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the regular stack here. Down in South Africa, a man who uploaded a single movie to the Pirate Bay, and it basically was the first online piracy case, has been sentenced today after striking a plea bargain with the state over what was unusually framed as a criminal rather than a civil offense. The 29-year-old has been handed an unprecedented 5-year, now listen to this, suspended jail sentence. So, you know, he's basically got to keep his nose clean for 5 years or he will go to jail. So they've got what's called the SAFE Act, the South African Freedom Against Copyright Theft. And this guy had uploaded a high-profile movie to the Pirate Bay. And this is pretty incredible. This IT engineer reported, basically uploaded the movie in 2013. But he later deleted the file that he had uploaded. And he had admitted buying a screener copy of the movie off the streets and uploading it to Pirate Bay. But 5 years suspended sentence. Man, if the judge had been totally off the wall. But think about that, a 5-year suspended sentence. Even in the United States, that would seem to me be pretty harsh for a single file copyright infringement. Just goes to show you how crazy it is it's getting there in the world these days. Hey, Google has been, do you know about Project Loon? You know, basically Project Loon is basically using a balloon to provide internet service. Now, I don't know if they tether the balloon or if they just let the balloon go and let it circle. But basically, Google said that they were experimenting with balloons flying around 20 kilometers or 65,000 feet above the Earth and using radio links in an unlicensed portion of the spectrum at around 2.4 gigs. But in late September, the head network engineer for Loon quietly applied for the U.S. Federal Communications Commission for permission to test Loon across a larger portion of northern Nevada in two chunks of radio spectrum at basically in the 4G LTE frequency range. So this is kind of an interesting thing. Now, the Google, when they wrote to the FCC, basically said that the technology is under development, highly sensitive. The release of such information would provide valuable insight into Google technology innovations and potential business plans and strategies. So they didn't want to reveal too much. But we do know that these balloons fly at 65,000 feet, about as twice as high, of course, as a commercial aircraft. They're not going to pose a hazard to aviation. So I guess they are just going to launch them, and they're not tethering them. Which is kind of interesting because if you're down in Florida, and many of you, if you go in the, down in the Key West, you will see on the horizon tethered balloons, and what they've used those for, my understanding is to look for drug runners. Basically, they're a balloon with a radar attached to them. They look for drug runners and other illegal activity. And but they're tethered in a fixed location. I just don't understand how these balloons are going to. They have to have a lot of balloons up to get the type of coverage that, because they're going to move, right? They're not going to stay still. You know, they say in the April 7th test, the balloon would travel in a southeasterly direction, but. You know, I don't fully understand how they're going to implement this without tethering them. And tethering them is obviously going to be very dangerous for aviation. You know, you imagine you run a balloon up and to 65,000 feet and it's being held up there by a wire, held in place by a wire to, you know, to hold a position or over a relative area. And, you know, this is possible to do this. But at the same time, you know, you don't want an airplane flying through that corridor for obvious reasons. But very interesting what they're doing. And I don't fully, I guess they're trying to prove how this thing's going to work. You know, I've had some problems here recently with Chrome, specifically with Flash crashing and or basically shockwave crashing. It's just driving me really crazy. It really, really is. Hey, let's talk about a new selfie by the by one of our old rovers out there. The Winds of Mars have been basically cleaned up. Opportunity. NASA says the robot is now cleaner than it's been in nearly a decade. High winds basically got the dust off this thing, and they are they've got a lot more power. They are only creating about 100 watts a day. Now they're putting about 600 to 700 watts a day into the rover. So basically, they had a 70% increase. That's fantastic. Now the rover needs 100 watts of solar power to function, and they keep batteries charged. So this is really good news for Opportunity. Got a little bit of a wind blast and kept it clean, but you can see the difference. You know, the difference is really incredible. No one up there to wipe the panels. That's for sure. But it is nice to see the rover get a little wind blasting, for a better word there. So very cool stuff, yeah. It's very exciting to see Opportunity still cranking away and doing what it's supposed to do. All right, next thing up, we're going to talk just a little bit about a new credit card breach. If you shop at Michael's or Aaron Brothers, three million folks have had their customer credit and debit cards breached. So basically, the systems in Michael's stores and its subsidiaries, Aaron Brothers, were attacked by criminals, as they say, using highly sophisticated malware. that had not been encountered previously by either of the security firms. And so they had some issues. So if you shop with them, they'll probably be sending you a notice shortly. How many of you get tired of putting your password in your computer? I know for me, it's, you know, I automatically have my screen when it basically, when I walk away, screensaver kicks in, it locks the screen. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little old, but you just never know, you know, when someone's going to be snooping around doing something they shouldn't on your machine. And, you know, I know many of you employ a screen lock or just lock the computer if you walk away. But apparently they're trying to work a feature with Chrome and your Android device is when you basically walk up to your phone, walk up with your phone, you're going to be able to unlock your Chromebook when you're close. No passwords are necessary. So I guess someone then will have to just steal your phone to get your computer to unlock. But so they can enable this right now on the dev design. And there's some instructions on how to implement it and what protocols to use when you get close to it with your phone. So kind of an interesting deal over there. I don't know how they're doing it, but they've announced it. Hey, Amazon just announced it's amazing, but limited voice search functions on Fire TV is now integrating Hulu Plus, Crackle, and Showtime. So that's going to be cool. I've been using the voice search to find movies and programs, and I've done all kinds of experiments with it. I haven't found myself yet. But as soon as we get our app in there, that may change. Only time will tell, but our developers are working on the app for the Amazon Fire TV. All right, one thing that I did not really think of as a potential tool, scientists are now basically 3D printing tumors to help them fight cancer. Now, what they're doing is that up to this point, they've been doing 2D tumors. And what they say is there's often a poor analog as compared to the real thing. Now, 3D printed tumors behave more like natural cancers flesh might look like. They get basically the design. And what they're going to be able to do is with a healthier fake tumor, basically the medical research is going to be able to improve what's going to happen with drug trials, especially if they build a real tumor. Or build a tumor in a petri jar, which they have done from time to time. But researchers are still developing the process. But this is pretty cool. Again, so for you know, they're going to imagine what would happen if they get to the point where, and I know they're doing this somewhat already. They make when they scan cancer patients, and they figure out exactly where the tumor is, how deep, what shape, you know, all the characteristics, if it's got tentacles. And then when they do the radiation treatment, they can target the segments of the tumor. So I'm hoping what they're going to be able to do with this 3D modeling is be able to determine, okay, what part of this tumor should they focus on the most to kill it? Or are they going to have a more accurate, you know, zapping area without having to zap healthy organs and flesh and everything else that goes in with our internal organs? So this is really, in my opinion, very, very cool stuff. Being able to 3D print basically tumor models. So they're going to get this figured out. Now, if you're going to ever run a fake Twitter account, make sure that you do it as parody and you're very clear that you're running a fake account. Apparently, some folks got rounded up by the police when they searched a home via a search warrant. They seized phones and computers in an effort to unmask the author of a parody Twitter account that basically was trying to be the mayor of the city in Peoria, Illinois. Oh my God, just destroyed that. But so basically, they took a bunch of people down to the police department for questioning, and basically question them if they own, if they were part of the Twitter, if they own the Twitter account. They're probably going to get to the bottom of it, but they're going to charge someone to try to prosecute them for running this fake account, basically impersonating someone. And because what this guy's been doing is he's been, the contents of the tweets range from ambiguous to offensive, with repeat references to sex and drugs in comparisons to that Toronto mayor, Rob Ford. So basically, and it wasn't announced as a parody Twitter account up until March 10th. So obviously someone's not real happy over there, but the police definitely kicked the doors in at some place to try to figure out who this is and potentially charge them. You know, every once in a while you see something cool and outlandish. And, you know, in Nepal, it's pretty remote. And some of those areas have no real access to the outside world. There's very limited, even, you know, they may get some satellite television, but most of the stuff comes in via radio. And to do a radio, you know, to build a radio station, it doesn't take a lot of gear or a lot of money, a couple thousand dollars, probably in parts, and to really just get a bare bones, you know, radio station set up. But a Korean firm put in a beautiful radio station from Nepal's hidden kingdom, and when you see this thing, you're gonna be like, wow, they spent that much money there. But it is kind of cool, and once you see the design, you're gonna love this. Now they spent $930,000. It was built by a South Korean communication giant, all of stone, and the architecture on it is really incredible. They've got a beautiful studio with a rock table and a control room behind it, and I'm just like, holy smokes, you look at this thing and the lighting and everything that they did. And to me, it's like, it's cool, but it's like complete overkill. But they did, you know, do a lot to try to protect the building from its, from the weather and so forth. But it's really quite incredible what they have accomplished with this. And it's a radio station that I think, you know, any one of us would want to have a chance to work in. But at 8,400 feet above sea level, you know, you better be in shape. But I just thought it was like, wow, that's the kind of indie radio station you want, but it's going to play an important part for the Nepalians in that area and giving them, you know, access to news and information via via the radio. So very, very, very cool. But I just, again, I thought it was a little overkill for the design, but if you're going to spend $930,000, I guess that's the way to do it. Well, today, Vladimir Putin, basically was on a some sort of a television program or something, and Snowden called in. Vladimir Putin basically told Snowden that Russia, now listen to this, this is going to make you all smile. Okay, so we all kind of know what's going on here in the United States, right? So, but Vladimir Putin said Russia has no mass telephone and internet surveillance programs compared to those of the United States. He made this claim during his annual question and answer session on live TV on Thursday, and he had a call-in question, of course, a call-in question by NSA leaker Edward Snowden. So he asked Vladimir Putin, does Russia intercept, store, or analyze anyway the communications of millions of individuals? And do you believe that simply increasing the effectiveness of intelligence or law enforcement investigations can justify placing societies rather than subjects under surveillance? And he answered this in English, too. Wow. But, you know, kind of like the kettle calling, please, Do you really think that the Russians are not doing everything? Oh, here's this going to crack me up. Our special services, thank God, are strictly controlled by the society and by the law, and are regulated by the law, Vladimir Putin claimed. He further observed that in Russia, we don't have as much money as they have in the States, and we don't have these technical devices that they have in the States. Whatever. You know, that's a whopper. And wow. Of course, during the Q&A, Putin was also asked whether he has any plans to annex the U.S. state of Alaska, which was a Russian territory and was sold to the U.S. in 1867. And he says, who needs Alaska? I want to emphasize once again, Russia's interested in growing relations with the United States and will do everything to ensure that this confidence is restored. Oh, he is such a man. The guy has a line of BS that is just, remember, he used to be KGB. This guy is not stupid, but at the same time, you can guarantee that they are rounding up, shooting enemies of the state, locking people up. You just know, please. Oh my gosh. And of course, hey, it was just by chance Snowden called in. I'm sure what Vladimir told Snowden is, you're going to call in, you're going to ask this question. If you don't, I'm going to deport your butt back to the United States. Oh, man. So I'm sure Snowden called in on his own. Hey, you guys know I like Sonos. I've got several of their speakers here in the house, and they're making a big update. Currently, it's required to use the Sonos. You have to have a bridge hooked up to a computer, and the bridge talks to all the devices. But they're going to make an update that you're no longer going to need the bridge. You're just going to need your mobile device or your computer on the Wi-Fi network to talk to the speakers, which is really exciting stuff in this upcoming update. So if you use Sonos products like I do, be aware that that change is going to be forthcoming. Hey, if you use the Tor network, Tor may have to shrink for a bit to fight the Heartbleed bug. Lots of Tor nodes are running encryption software that's vulnerable to the flaw, so they're going to have to shut down in order to upgrade and bring them up. So be aware of that. I've never used Tor. Never had a need to. Also, Arrow is going to be going into Supreme Court on April 22nd. It's going to hear the oral arguments in the case of the television networks versus Arrow. So we'll see what happens with this. But Arrow's kind of going on the offensive here a little bit before the trial and basically doing some public awareness of how this thing works and talking about trying to get a little ahead of the PR cycle here. So we'll see where this leads. But we know that the major companies are trying to shut them down. They don't want them online. Now, Arrow's death would be a huge blow to cord cutters or to anyone who's ever considered it. For those who don't actually own TVs, which a lot of folks are, like my daughter, Arrow is a godsend in those places where they work. And so we'll see where this goes. But, you know, at some point, if Arrow gets popped, you're going to have to hook up an antenna to your TV if you want to do the services that or get the service that Arrow provides. Google has won a big challenge here. They're basically escaped from East Texas, taking a patent troll back to California. So a federal judge has issued an order today decreeing that Google's court battle against a patent troll owned by its competitors must be fought out in California, not in Texas. This is big because they get this patent litigation out of that East Texas district, which has been really friendly to patent holders. So this is very, very cool. Rockstar is going to have to fight on Google's own turf. This is a company that's involved in the patent dispute. So nice to see this happening. Google win one here for the team. It's being reported that Apple's driving the move to 64-bit mobile processors. So it looks like they're driving Android and other folks to start adapting their phones to 64-bit if they aren't already. So this is big. I think that's going to help us all get more powerful phones. And it's going to come at a little bit of a performance price, but pretty cool stuff. Hey, the Mars rover Curiosity was photographed by the Reconnaissance Orbiter. And I don't know if I can blow this up enough for you guys to see this. This is over at designtrend.com. Yeah, they probably got a link on it on the NASA site, but you can see it. Oh, going to give me a big monster ad here. When you go up the show notes, you'll see the link. You'll see the box. And not too bad of a picture, actually, to be able to see Curiosity. Cool stuff. And so, obviously, two Earth-made robots shared a passing moment got a picture of it. You know, Nike has been very aggressive throughout the years in going after anyone that infringes on the swoosh, right? Well, Nike is being sued by former San Diego Chargers linebacker Sean A. Merriman. He's suing athletic giant Nike in San Diego federal court, alleging unfair competition and trademark infringement of his Lights Out brand. Now, he holds a trademark to Lights Out, but Nike has been selling clothes and a whole bunch of products for both men men, women, and children using the Lights Out basically logo and trademark. So he's going to battle with them, cease and desist, and trying to get some money. Nike's getting a little taste of the trademark violation game. And I'm sure what they're probably doing is say, we'll just pay him off. I'm sure they're hoping that was what will happen. All right, Flickr's Android app gets basically an amazing UI overhaul. And, you know, I like Flickr for years. I've used it a lot. But, you know, the apps have really kind of sucked. But they've got a really nice Android app now. So if you're a Flickr user, definitely go get the new app. Load it on your mobile device and start using Flickr the way it was originally designed to be used. Google's also trying to get a little designer friendly. It's telling developers, we're sick of ugly design. And a big part of their developers conference is going to be working with the developers to refine apps and their looks and their feel and design elements. So this is a big deal. So maybe we're going to see some refinement to Android apps, not going to be so rough around the edges. For those of you that are structure architects, I found a really cool article talking about structural integrity, and it specifically talks about the Citicorp Center in New York City. And of course, any of you that have seen this building, you freaked out a little bit because what it essentially is it's standing on stilts. And it's a pretty tall skyscraper, but there was some concerns that thing could have tipped over when it was initially built. I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. And if any of you want to see the secrecy that went into, you know, basically reinforcing that building back in the early 90s, definitely check it. The building was originally built in 1977, so it's been around a long time. But they did have to make some modifications to it to prevent it from tipping over during certain wind conditions, which seems pretty crazy from any retrospect. Also, there's been some tracking of a Heartbleed bug is basically talking about bandwidth, global spike, and basically certificate issues. And on one day, there were 75,000 certificates that were revoked and then reissued. And just gives you an idea. Oh, actually, it increased from 1,492 to 133,243. And that's just one company in a single day. And but this definitely is going to really drive, because it's basically what's going to happen here is all these certificates have to be redownloaded into your computers. It's you're getting an update when you're hitting a secure site if the certificate's been updated. And they say that this basically is driving bandwidth cost up this month for a lot of companies. We're not going to see that big of a cost increase because of this change out, but it is being a worldwide effect. Hey, over the past 2 weeks, the Pulitzer and Polk Awards have recognized the work of Glenn Greenwald, Laura Petraeus, and other journalists responsible for bringing Edward Snowden's leaked documents to print. But one of the most high profile TV reports on U.S. surveillance was an uncritically supportive look from CBS and 60 Minutes. But today, PBS announced plans for a 2-part Frontline special called United States of Secrets, which promises the definitive history of domestic surveillance since September 11th. It's going to come on. The first part's going to be on May 13th. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this, but there'll be a television series, a 2-part series you won't want to miss. And also, there's good news coming out of the cable industry in that cable cutters are starting to make a big impact. So households that have Netflix or Hulu, those households are have went from 12.7 being cord cutters in 2010 to 18.1% in 2013. So it just goes to show you that folks that are have a Netflix or a Hulu account are canceling their cable services at a much higher rate than other folks are. So that's a pretty cool development from a, you know, for me, it's important from a digital advertising standpoint. All right, Facebook will now tell you when your friends are nearby. Now, I don't know about this. So the site started rolling out this optional new mobile feature today called Nearby Friends. And it basically alerts you when friends are nearby and vice versa. But if you fear weirdos, don't worry. The feature will only load if you opt in and turn it on. Facebook also lets you decide which of your friends can view your location, and those friends can only do so if they allow you to view them too. So they put this out in a blog post, but you can turn it on so your friends can see where you're at. It gets weirder and weirder. It really, really does. A lot of drama over on Reddit in the technology category, and I'm over there quite a bit on a daily basis. It's one of my 2 or 3 time reads, but Reddit has removed technology from the coveted link on the top of the website because it was found that the administrators of that forum were censoring certain articles. Basically, if they had the politicized words, they were killing it. So headlines such as NSA, Bitcoin, Obama. Basically, any headlines that had that in there were not allowed to be, if they were submitting them, they were moderating them out. And people are pissed over there. And, you know, the Reddit crowd is not forgiving at all. So there's been a mass shakeup in the moderators and so forth in that channel. The channel is running red right now with the slashing that's went on. But people do not like to be censored. And it's, you know, Reddit's supposed to be pretty open on that process. And it really hasn't went that way. All right, Time Warner Cable also is pretending that customer complaints don't exist. A good report from DSLReports.com talks about this. Comcast was at this last week, and basically they're all saying, oh, our customers love us, but it's being found out that many city councils are trying to get information on customer satisfaction, and even though the franchise rules on which they operate in many cities, a lot of that data is not being stored, especially phone calls and so forth. When someone calls to complain, a lot of those aren't getting registered. So they're hiding really out there in plain sight and saying, hey, we don't have the data, because they don't create it unless they really, really have to. All right, one thing is becoming very serious in the tech world, and it's something that I, as a employer, I can understand the reason for employees being upset. Really, what's going on is that there's a lot of folks that are at a business and they're coming with ideas and they're developing technology. Now, granted, they're getting paid to do that, but many employers demand ownership over most all aspects of things that are designed and built. Now, you may get your name on as a contributor to something, but companies have been making a lot of claims to their employees' mental work for over a decade. It's even about software processes and so forth. If you've developed that on the job, your employer technically, and there's case law that shows that they own that. And there's a lot of gray area there where people don't always get credit for stuff that they've designed. And the tech industry starting to raise questions about that and say, hey, this is my idea, but it's my boss's property. So be careful in your employment agreements that you're making out there. And if nothing else, if you can't get them agreed to, you just try to make them agree to allow you at least get credit, your name on there, so it can be a resume builder. But it's definitely one of those things where it's going to be an ongoing battle. And I understand if a boss has hired you and you've developed something for the company, that's company property. They don't want to, have to give, pay you dividends or pay you licensing fees because you build it on the company dime. Hey, one thing that's being suggested as a possible reason that the Ukraine is being invaded by Russia, Poland, of course, which makes vodka, borders Ukraine, and of course, Vladimir Putin will go do anything to get closer to a better vodka. At least that's a advertisement that's being run. So, Putin needs a steady supply of vodka. Kind of funny. Now, this is, I don't know how much truth there is to this, but this is over on Uber Gizmo. Liking a company's Facebook page could potentially void your right to sue them. So the next time you plan on liking a particular company on Facebook, you may want to think twice. So it depends on the company. It depends from company to company, but it's been recently noticed that General Mills, the company behind cereals such as Cheerios and Chex, as well as other brands like Bisquick and Better Crocker, have recently updated their privacy. The new policy indicates that if a customer has a dispute with them and who has ever received anything that could be construed as a benefit, like an online discount, code coupon, their right to sue is essentially waived. Instead, customers are expected to submit their complaints via information negotiation via email or go through arbitration to seek relief. So arbitrators will definitely it's never a great way to go because they have basically the power of a judge to decide who wins a dispute, straight. So this is kind of a interesting thing here, because if you give a company a like to get a discount code, you may have waived your rights to sue them. Seems pretty crazy, but that's what they're reporting. And it makes you go, just a little bit. Are you a Vimeo user? You can wave your hands like you just don't care to control videos on Vimeo. So this is pretty cool. The company recently announced its couch mode feature. Basically, if you have a Leap Motion controller, it allows you to take over media commands by simply using your hands. A circle gesture with your fingers can fast forward or rewind. Tap your finger in the air to play. Double tap to pause. Swipe to get to the next video. So basically, you don't even have to use a mouse. You just wave it in front of the screen so long as you have a Leap Motion controller connected. That's pretty cool. Very, very cool stuff. Minority Report. All right, major record labels are hitting Pandora again with a copyright infringement lawsuit. This just seems to continue to go on and on and on. It appears that songs recorded before 1972 is where the issue is. The labels claim that songs recorded before 1972 are subject to copyright as well, and that Pandora needs to pay them in order to have the rights to stream it. Some of the examples include James Brown's I Got You, the Beatles' Hey Jude, which are covered by state law, even if they're protected. If you play a Beatles song, it's almost like an act of Congress to make that happen. But Pandora says they're confident in their legal position, and we will continue to see where this one goes. You guys notice today the LEDs in the back are white? Never run white in the background before. And I thought it was kind of a cool look. And I may run it some more, but it's definitely different than the blue and orange or green or whatever yeah, just running pure white is kind of cool in the background. All right, that's going to get us close here to the end, folks. I definitely want to thank all of you for being here and being subscribed to the show. I want to thank you for your continued support of the sponsor here at Geek News Central. Of course, that's GoDaddy.com. We want to remind you that you can get a one-month free hosting or premium stat service with Raw Voice and Blueberry by clicking on the banner at GeekNewsCentral.com as well. That gets you in there. Of course, anything that you buy on the website, whether it be a drop cam, if you click on the link on the website, that gives me credit and puts 10 or 15 bucks in our account. So it's the same way as becoming an insider. I really would like to see the insider stack grow. I'd like to get us to the point where we'd have 1,000 insiders giving a minimum of $2 a month. That would go a long, long way. Really, it would to helping continue to move things forward here. Again, this year, I'm being very careful on expenditures. That's why I didn't go out and just buy a brand new Canon G10 or G20 and spend the $1,400. I'm trying to be very prudent in cash expenditures this year. So, if you're becoming an insider, you are really helping the show in a direct way, whether it be $2, $5, $10, $25 a month or even a single one-time donation. It is definitely greatly appreciated, and we want you to be on our Insiders program. You can basically email Sam to make sure you are an insider at geeknewscentral.com. He'll take care of you and get you on the list that you need to be on to be a part of the Insider group. And we want the Insider group to definitely participate and provide me feedback. And really, you guys have the inside edge even more than the regular audience does. So I definitely want to encourage all of you to consider becoming insiders and supporting the show. I hope that you feel the show quality is good enough to be able to warrant 6.7 cents. I hope I'm worth 6.7 cents a day. It's really, it's $2. And it's not even, it's half the cost of a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So I'd hope you consider coming in at just even if it's $2, $5 is better, $10 is fantastic, $25 is outstanding. We have a few folks, there are a few patrons that are basically supporting the show at the $25 level. That really makes a lot of ground in a hurry when we have that. But as you'll notice on geeknewscentral.com, the content is going to be flowing a little bit faster now from a writing standpoint. So we hope that you'll be coming over to the website and reading the articles and the tech news that the writer's putting together. Definitely make a concentrated effort to make sure that your dollars as an insider is well worth it. But definitely appreciate y'all being here and being part of the Ohana. And it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. Time to get off here. And everyone have a great Easter. Be safe out there. I know in some countries that this show goes to that Easter can be a little bit of a dangerous time. So please be safe as well. And a lot of crazies out there right now, definitely doing weird things. But have a happy Easter. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.